Today I'm gonna picture it like a plane ride. I know it's COVID and a lot of people would be afraid to fly. So I figured we'll do it in this room and we'll do it online. It's kind of like we're gonna take this little airplane and we're gonna go up on 30,000 feet and we're gonna look at several passages throughout the Old Testament. Eventually I'm gonna take this little plane and I'm gonna land in the New Testament. We're gonna come in for a landing and I'm gonna make what I'm talking about today very applicable and extremely helpful to you today. You're with me so far? So as the little plane gets on the runway and God creates the world and we have Adam and Eve, and most people know that much because that's like the first two pages of the Bible. God then has his people that is chosen called the Israelites. And as we know, humans, we make mistakes and there's issues happening right away in the Bible. And the chosen people, the people of Israel, they become slaves in a nation called Egypt. Who has ever heard that much so far? Whole bunch of you. All right. They're slaves for a long time, and God sends this guy named Moses. Moses is the man to eventually go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, hey, you need to let my people go. And we learn about the 10 plagues, and after the 10th one, Pharaoh has enough, and he lets the Israelites leave Egypt. And they get led now by Moses out of Egypt. They come up to the Red Sea, and there is one amazing miracle how God parts the Red Sea. The people of Israel, they cross through on dry ground. They're being chased by the armies of Egypt, and when the armies of Egypt come in, the sea closes up, and safe and sound are the Israelites on the other side. Moses then goes up on this mountain called Mount Sinai, and this is where God gives him the Ten Commandments. If you have ever heard about the Ten Commandments, wave to me. Now, if you're online, you can't wave, so you need to give like a thumbs up, like put in an emoji or something online, like, yes, I know what you're talking about, the Ten Commandments, okay? So we're all communicating. Now, right after God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, God then tells Moses to build a special thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is found in Exodus 25. I'm just going to give you the verse. You can write it down. You can read it later. This is like a 30,000 view of stuff. So I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to tell you what happens. He gives detailed instructions for building the Ark of the Covenant. Let's make this very simple for everybody in the room. This is basically what God says. He says, build a box. Everybody say box. That's what God says. I mean, I'm making it super simple now, but God basically goes, make a box. And you are to carry this box with you wherever you go. In fact, the box came with all kinds of instructions for how to make it. It was overlaid with gold. It was to be carried on poles by a special group of Israelites called the Levites. And he even told them, hey, build the first portable church. Yeah. They call it the tabernacle, built out of tent material. And in the middle of that, there is the box. So the Israelites now, for 40 years, they carry this box wherever they go. You with me so far? And the closer someone got to the box, the closer they got to the presence of God. This is where you hear terms like this, Shekinah glory. Like the closer they came, the manifest presence of God was right there. So they do this for 40 years. I told you, it's like we're flying now on 30, 40,000 feet and just looking at a few things happening through a long period of time. They get into the promised land, and now we're going to fast forward 400 years. Everybody go, uh-oh, something bad happened. There is a group of people called the Philistines. They steal the box. Oh, yeah, they did. They stole this box, and let me tell you something. When you mess with what God has put in place, there is always consequences. And the Philistines, oh my word, they found out this was bad news to take the special box that God have made. You with me so far? Good. It's going to get so fun in a little bit. So they steal this box. They realize all bad things that could happen start to happen. And they go, we need to return that box. Because obviously this was not the right decision. So there is this king. His name is David. David is the same guy we learn about with David and Goliath. Some of us know that story. So he's now king. Everybody say David. David. David goes, we need to get this box back because the Philistines want to give the box back. And the Philistines had put this box, the Ark of the Covenant, on this cart pulled by oxen. And David sends his men, and they are like jubilant and triumphant because this box was very special. God really cared about this box. It mattered tremendously. So he sends his people, and they are having this procession now with oxen pulling this cart. And one of the oxen stumbles. And the whole cart shakes, and this guy, he reaches out to stop the box from falling. Do you know what happened to the guy? He died. Everybody go, uh-oh. Now you can read this story if you would like to in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. You should at home. This is really, really interesting, by the way. Now you say, why in the world would God kill him for touching the box? Remember now, I told you that when God in Exodus said, build a box, it came with specific instructions. One of those instructions was this. It is to be carried, never anything else. Everybody say carried. It's to be carried, and carried by who? By Levites. God has specific instructions for this box, and they did not follow God's specific instructions. I'm here to tell you this. It's important to do things God's way. Sometimes we follow logic and go, wouldn't it be so much easier just to do X, Y, and Z? Why carry it when we have an oxen and a cart? Do things God's way, okay? Now we're going to fast forward a little bit longer, okay? And as we fast forward a little bit longer, we get David's son. His name is Solomon. And Solomon now, he builds the first temple. Everybody say temple. In fact, if you're watching online, type that word, temple. Temple, type that in, YouTube, Facebook, live stream, because I want you guys online to interact as much as everyone in this room. Everybody say temple. So they've gone from a portable church to a permanent building. You with me so far? He builds this temple, and inside of the temple is a place called the Holy of Holies. And guess what's inside there? The box. Right that center is that box. It contains the Ten Commandments. You have the staff of Aaron that budded. There's a bunch of stuff there, but let me tell you how special it was. The high priest, and it's one person, could only come into this room close to the box once a year. It was so specific and so sacred and so holy. Now, we know several things about what happened and how God orchestrated this. But besides reading the Bible, when you study Jewish tradition, you read the Talmud, you read the Mishnah, you read rabbinical writings, some rabbis believe, and let me say this now, the Bible does not say, but some rabbis believe. You with me so far? They believe that this is how it would be like. The high priest had these bells on the bottom of his garment. So picture some guy walking, it's kind of like jingle bells, da-da-da-da-da, right? And you hear this bells going off as this guy is moving, right? You with me so far? And they believe, again, not in the Bible, but they believe they would tie a rope around the waist of the high priest. He would enter into the Holy of Holies, and if he were to be doing anything that would be out of order, they believed that God would strike him dead. And then all of a sudden, that sound of the bells would stop. And they would use this rope to pull him back out. Now, I don't know. Again, that's rabbinical tradition, not in the Bible. Regardless, I know one thing. Here's what I do know about the box. God cared deeply about the box. Number two, God was very specific about the box.
Number three, the box was extremely holy and special. We know that much. You with me so far? Everybody say the box. So this plane now is flying through the Old Testament, and we get all the way into the last part of the Bible that we call the New Testament. And we're going to land now in a book called 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read a passage from chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. And this is the kind of passage that you read and you go, what? Like you should really, after everything I've told you, have that reaction when I read this passage. So here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by who? By God. You do not belong to yourself. Now, I read that and I go, what? Because I can translate that passage to something that will make sense for everyone in the room. Are you ready? Here's what I get out of it. I am the box. That's what I get out of that passage. God saying, you're it. You're the temple. Yes, the pastor? Nope. Really? This box really mattered to God. This box was to be holy, specific, everything. Now, pastor, you're telling me I'm the box? Yes. About 2013 or 2014, I heard a sermon from a pastor named Jensen Franklin. Never forgotten the illustration he shared. So I'm going to gently borrow his illustration for the next few moments to really bring this into a point where you get, I'm never going to forget this. This is me giving him proper credit. I did not come up with this. Who in here likes pizza? Come on. Yes, I knew it's you guys are my kind of people. I brought some pizza here. Who wants some? Yeah. All right, so let's imagine this for a moment. Sunday afternoon or whatever day out of the week you're watching this, you decide to order pizza, okay? Your pizza is on its way, doorbell rings. Okay, great, my pizza is here. You open your front door, and there is the pizza delivery guy, and the pizza delivery guy has your pizza, but he's holding it with both his hands like this. Like he's touching your pizza. There's cheese dripping down his arms. Would you be okay with that? Pre-COVID, the answer is no. Pre-COVID, I'm like, dude, where have your hands been? Pre-COVID, I'm like, I'm calling your employer and I'm demanding free pizza for life. This is on my Ring doorbell, and I got this recorded. It's going up on YouTube, hello? You're with me so far? My first observation when he came would be this. I expected my pizza to come in a, help me out, in a box. That's it. I expected my pizza to come in a box. I got this one from Dave Nethery. He owns a pizza franchise. And I asked him, I said, how much does one of these boxes cost? He looked it up. He didn't know. He said, I'll find out. He goes, 77 cents. I go, all right. Never in my life have I thought about the value of the box. It's not that much. I wonder what a company like Domino's, who crank out 2 million pizzas a day, how much they can push that price down per box. In fact, for all of us in this room, we have never given much thought to the box because it's all about what's inside the box. We discard that box right away because it's not about it. I'm here to tell you this, church. The box does not give value to the product. The product inside gives value to the box. Let me look at you now and talk about what God wants to do in your life.
He wants to place something in you. You are the vessel. And you might say, hey, pastor, I don't have the right education. Does not matter. I don't have the right connections. Does not matter. I don't have the, whatever that is, fill in the blank. God says, you are just the box. I am the product. And I am willing to place something in you. All you have to be, and are you ready now? You better be ready for this, because all you have to be is this. You got to be clean. And you got to be available. See, when they go to put the pizza in here, they would never put a pizza in a dirty box. No. You can have the best pizza in your life, but if that shows up in a dirty box, you are not going to touch that pizza, are you? No, you're not. It just needs to be empty and available and clean. See, God wants to place something inside of you and me, and all I need to be is just available. Say, God, here I am. Pour into me. All I need to be is clean, that God goes, I am willing to place my glory and my presence in your life. Everybody say clean. Everybody say available. If you're watching online, I want you to type that, clean, and I want you to type the word available. Either we are containers of trash or treasure. Let me say that again. I am either a container of trash or treasure. This is why it matters what I watch. This is why it matters what I consume. Oh, it's just a little drinking here and there. No, my friend, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I go to church. I'm better than so and so. I watch online. At least I'm not as. Listen, my friend, you don't play with God. You don't mess with His holiness. God cares deeply about this box. He cares deeply about you. He cares deeply about you and how you treat yourself. He wants to place His glory in you, and He wants to flow through you. So we have learned this much so far. God says, build a box. Carry the box. Worship around the box. The box is special. I've told you, you are the box. I am the box. I've told you that God wants to place something in you, His own glory. Now, how does that work? So let me take some of the hype out of it, and let's break it down to a level where every single person will understand what I'm talking about. So here's what we have learned the last 2 weeks. We have learned that Jesus promised, everybody say promised. He didn't say He could, He might, He should, He promised that He would send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. I give you a few scriptures down there. I'm not going to read them. You just take a picture, write it down. By the way, the best way to follow along when somebody's preaching is to go to info.graceassembly.org, because we have all the notes there, all the scriptures there. You can take notes as I'm preaching, and you can save them. It's a great thing. Now check this out. The disciples were following Jesus. Everybody say following. They were following Jesus. They were with Him. They did all these miracles together, Jesus, all that stuff. And He is now died. He got resurrected on the third day. He is with them for a period of about 40 days. And then He tells them, if you were here last week, you're like, you said this last week. It's called a recap. Okay? Refresher. He says, hey, I'm going to leave you. And they're like, what? That's not good. And He's like, no. It's going to be all right. Because I'm going to send the Helper. I'm going to send power. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send somebody who will come alongside of you. Somebody can even speak on your behalf. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit your way. You don't have to go through life alone, right? Now, were the disciples saved? Obviously, they were saved. They were followers of Jesus Christ. You might be watching online today or sit in this room and you say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay, that's step one. I'm here today to tell you there is a step two, and we call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a step two. How do I know that? Because I read it in the Bible. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I grew up, you name whatever denomination, whatever church, and they told me, or I don't know. I mean, I'm good with God the Father. I'm good with Jesus, his son, but I don't know. I don't do any ghosts. I don't know that Holy Spirit and that speaking in tongues stuff. It ain't for me. Listen to me now. If Jesus told his closest followers, this is going to be good, this is for you, and I'm giving it to you, wouldn't I be the most foolish guy on earth to say, well, I don't need that? I'm here to tell you, if God has anything to give me, anything that is from God, I want all of it. Yes, I want all of it. So there is salvation, which is rebirth, okay? But then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How does that work? So Jesus tells him, hey, go and wait for the gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift, okay? It's a personal gift that he wants to give you, the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants to live in you. That is the manifest presence of God, the tangible presence inside of your temple. Why? Because I'm the box. I'm supposed to be the carrier of the presence of God. When people get close to me, they should get closer to God. Yeah. So check this out. He says, go and wait for that power. And we learned that in the book of Acts, that they were waiting for the gift. You with me so far? Let me break it down like this, because sometimes somebody will either watch online or sit in the room and go, Pastor, I mean, I thought the Holy Spirit was there when I got saved, and he was in me when I was saved. You are right. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. That's how you get convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit is active when you get saved. I'm not saying he's not. He's extremely active. In fact, let me break it down like this. In fact, I should drink a little bit. Because I have water, and water is good. Okay, suppose I am this bottle of water, right? When I get saved and reborn, something happens internally in me. That's the water inside of this container. You with me so far? That is the Holy Spirit working in and through me. If you are saved, that's it. He's there. But you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It would be like if I take this water bottle and I throw it inside of a swimming pool. Once that bottle goes into the body of water, it is now surrounded, it is now baptized in water. That's what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about yielding everything you have, and you say, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Completely flood my life. Surround me, not just inside of me, but let it be all over. And I think what happens when you do that is that it won't just go up to the brim of your life. It will do what it says in Psalm 23. It will overflow. It will touch people around you as well. Come on, that's good right there. All right. Well, how do I do this? How do I do this? I am so glad you asked. Because the Bible tells us. In fact, Jesus tells us. Sometimes people ask me when I'm traveling, hey, what denomination are you? Do you know what I tell them? Bible. Whatever it says in the Bible, that's what I believe. I believe it from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Pastor, you are narrow-minded. Thank you, that's a compliment. I'm as narrow-minded as from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It fits everything in there. It is like me putting up those bumper lanes you have when you go bowling, right? And have you ever been bowling with a kid? You put up those little bumpers, right? And the ball can bounce left and right, but eventually it will go all the way down. See, I bounce up against the book of Genesis. I bounce up against the book of Revelation, and I believe everything. I am Bible. That should bless somebody in this room. Because sometimes we've heard all this weird teaching, and sometimes churches have honestly done some weird stuff when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever with me? Because I've been in some church services where I'm like, Jesus did not do that. I'm just being dead honest. I've seen some crazy stuff. And I've walked out and goes, that's not in the Bible. But I'm not talking about any crazy stuff. I'm talking about the real deal stuff that Jesus said right now. So put any pretenses away and just listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to read from Luke 11. In Luke 11, Jesus says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Obviously no one, right? You wouldn't give food to your kids, not something deadly. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Well, nobody would do that. He goes on to say, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, check this out now, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You gotta ask. If you have not asked, you have not received. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They go to the upper room and they are asking, hey God, Jesus said he would give it to us. Here I am, give it to me. I'm here, I'm open, I am clean. I'm available, God. Put something in me. If you have something for me, I'm here. Clean, ready, available. They're asking. Why? I really think salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are meant to be very distinct and different experiences because they're both very unique and special. There is something special when you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I need you as my Savior. I believe you died for me. I know you rose again. You are alive today. I want you to live through me for the rest of my life. Guide, direct, and lead me. There's something special. You don't do nothing. You don't earn it. You can't be good enough. You just go, I'm a sinner, but I need a Savior. And you became saved. Thank you, Jesus. But that same Jesus says, hey, if you ask me for the Holy Spirit, I will also give you that. Again, you'd be extremely foolish. I would be extremely foolish to say, I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know if I need that. See, I can put it like this. Salvation is for eternity, but the Holy Spirit is for right now, so that you can have power way past your own. You can have understanding, wisdom, and knowledge way past your own understanding. We talked last week about Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. Was he a follower of Christ? Well, obviously he was a follower of Christ. We all know that. But he did not have that power to live through what he should have done. 3 times he denied. He was in that room when Jesus said, go, ask for the gift, the helper. He's there in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Same guy stands up in front of thousands. And it's not him anymore, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. Same guy. Oh, I'm a timid person. Don't worry about who you are. You just be the box. Clean and available. Let me tell you how this happened for me. How I received the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad would preach all over Sweden, Europe, do huge tent campaigns and crusades. Some of my best memories are early on, him preaching in England and me falling asleep on a pew after like 8 hours. And I remember being at the youth camp and somebody was up there talking about the Holy Spirit, and this was pre-COVID, all right? People came up to the altar. And I remember walking up and saying, God, give it to me. One of my best friends was there. Oh my word, did God get a hold of him that night? I mean, filled him up with the Holy Spirit, gave him a new language that was not Swedish or English or any other language he knew, a heavenly thing. Something that just flooded him. Nothing happened to me. I remember that night, I walked back to my cabin, I was so mad. I'm like, what, I'm not worthy? I asked. He got it. I don't remember being kind of mad the rest of the weekend. Like, what's up with him? We got back to church next Sunday. Oh my goodness, he's now the poster child of what God can do. Hopefully he's not watching online. I should not mention names. Grew up in a fairly small church. So people are like, okay, there's like 1 out of 20 people now. He's up there giving a testimony of what God did and the Holy Ghost. And I'm sitting out there and thinking, why not me? I asked. Nothing happened. Fast forward like a year or two, In Sweden, almost every community have these huge indoor aquatic complexes of massive swimming pools and because it's cold, it's like Canada, super cold most of the year. So they have all these inside, could be 5-6 swimming pools and slides and all kinds of stuff, saunas, and it's for the community. And in Sweden, you have to learn how to swim. It's part of what you do in school. And the one thing we all had to learn to do is float. Like to, for 5 minutes, float on water. Have you ever had the feeling when you get water up your nose? And you know what I'm saying? You feel you're drowning? Is this nasty? You know what I'm talking about? Every time I try to float, I would like sink and get that thing of like, I'm going to drown, and then panicking. And the teacher kept saying, hey, Matthias, you're doing it the wrong way. You need to trust the water. You just need to trust. Because when you tense up and you fight it, you're not letting air come into your lungs. When you let air come into your lungs and they expand, you become more buoyant. And it makes it easier to float. You got to trust the water. You just got to relax. It's not about you. It's about you letting go. I remember her saying that. It's about you letting go. And I learned to float. Just move your fingers just a little bit. And I was in a church service like this. And I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of speaking to me like, that's how you need to do it with me. Just let go. Trust. It's not weird. It's not crazy. Just relax. And trust. Today, in the next couple of minutes, if you're in this room, and on purpose I'm slowing everything down, because this is nothing to be hyped. This is something real. You might be in this room and you have never experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit where God himself will give you words or a word that is not any language that you know. You say, why do I need that? Don't worry about all that stuff. I will give you power, he said. If he has something for you, why not say, hey, I like to have something from God. If that helps me out, you'd be foolish to say, I don't need it. How does that work then? Well, generally when we pray, it's like something pops in your head, a sentence, a word, a syllable, and you're like, the first thing you're going to think is this, I just made that up. Honestly, 90% of people I talk to that experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they say, I just made that up. That's the devil. Because if you ask Jesus for it, he will give it to you. What if it doesn't happen today? Don't worry about that. Take that weight off your shoulder. It can happen in the next 2 minutes. It can happen as you drive home. It can happen when you take a shower. It can happen in your sleep. It can happen in a week. You don't worry. All you have to worry about is, am I available? Am I open for him to place something in me? And am I clean? Am I saying you have to be perfect? Oh my goodness. I'm not even deserving to stand up on this platform. It's only because of the grace of God. It's only because of the grace of God. I'm not here to tell you about my life. I'm telling you about his life. I'm telling you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not about you being perfect. It's just about you saying, hey, God, if you can use anyone, use me. All right? You with me? Good. God can do this online for everybody watching. He can do it right now for you, ma'am, sitting in your couch. Because he's not a respecter of location. He's the same everywhere. So there's two groups of people watching online and in this room. There's people in here, you have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit where God has given you a prayer language from heaven. It's not English, it's not Spanish, it is not Portuguese, it is not Swedish, it is not Russian. It's not any language that you know. It's something that God places in you. When God places that one word or that syllable or that sentence, it's up to you. Because God is not going to treat you like a robot, my friend. He's not going to take your tongue and move it up and down for you. You got to trust that it's God and you got to speak it out. That's your job. If it doesn't happen now, don't worry about it. There's no pressure. If you're in this room, you have either received it or you have not. And then there's one other group of people watching online and in this room. You need to become a follower first. So, we'll handle it super quickly. You're in this room and you are not saved, meaning you have not given your life 100% to Jesus. Or you're watching online and you have not done that. If you're in this room, say, Pastor, I have not given everything. I need to be saved. I want you to raise your hand right now. It could be that everybody's good. But if not, raise your hand. If you're watching online, you type, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. If you're watching online and you're not saved, you type, I need Jesus right now. If you're in this room, I'm looking around left and right. Perhaps everybody's good, and that's awesome. Good. Moving along. Step two. Have you received it? Have you not? Now we're going to have some fun. Literally in the next 6 minutes, and you're going to be out here 10 minutes after. It's like a miracle from God. It's like a miracle from heaven. It's my gift to you. It's trying to lighten up the mood because sometimes we make it so hyped. It's not hyped. It's real, my friend. I talked last week about how I went through one of my toughest situations in my entire life when over 20 of my friends died. And I was on a missions trip in the country of Estonia. And I had to rely on the Holy Spirit. I am so glad I had the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad. You need the power to go through life that is from God. Okay? So here's why we're going to do it. If you're in this room and say, I've never experienced that, but I would like to. Let's be really bold right now with everybody looking. Some of you cheat anyways. Our people are raising hands. Let's be bold. If you're in this room and say, I have not, honestly, not really experienced that, but I would like to, raise a hand to me. Boom, a whole bunch of people, super proud, a whole row. Love that row back there. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. Cool, you can bring down your hands, lots of people. So let me break this down. Here's how we're going to do it. You're going to pray. If you are already filled with this gift, I'm going to ask you in about a minute to pray, but pray in tongues. Okay, so loud that you can hear it yourself. You with me? For the ones of you that raise your hand saying, I would like to have this. If you receive it now, that's beautiful. If you do it tomorrow, that's beautiful. There's no pressure. Okay, but the way it works is that you'll hear something in your head. It could be a word, a syllable, or a sentence. You got to then speak that out. You are in charge of that, ma'am. You are in charge of that, sir. You speak that out, but it sounds so stupid. It's like I'm a baby. Well, babies learn with a syllable or a sentence as they grow up. And then it becomes more fluid. Ain't nothing wrong. But I'm a grown man. Good. Let's get you to grow even more. Let's all stand up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray in English. As soon as I'm done, I want everybody in here that already prays and have that heavenly prayer language and everybody online that have it to start to pray. Are you with me? So I'll pray in English first, and then we'll switch. If you are here, you raised your hand saying, I want that. Or you're online, you said, I want that. I'm going to pray, and you're going to listen for that internally. Like, how do I hear it? It's going to be like, hello. No, it's going to be in your head. But it's not English, it is not Spanish, it's not any language you know. It could be as simple as a syllable or a sentence. Speak that out over and over. As simple as it sounds. You with me? So let me pray. Father, every single person in this room that raised their hands, you said we should ask. So we're asking right now. I stand on your word and on your promise, and I'm asking. There's no hype, there's no craziness. It's just a beautiful gift that you promised you would give in the mighty name of Jesus. Now let's start to pray. If you already have that language, you pray right now, as loud as you can hear it yourself. Pray. And if you hear that internally, you hear it right now, you'll start to speak that out. Online audience, you do the same right now. There's nothing weird, there's nothing strange about it. Yes, just do it. Let it go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Shisa no mara sikis. That's what it is.
That's it?
Yes. There's nothing crazy about it. From my heart to you, I hope you walk out of here. I hope you remember, I'm the box. I'm the container. Sometimes for us that's been in church for a long time, we live of old stuff. What God did back then. He wants to do something fresh in you, my friend, every day. Every day. You're not dead. God is not done. 100%. There's more. Just like the people in Israel, they lived off fresh manna every day when they traveled in the desert. God wants to give you something fresh every day. I want you to walk away with that. Now, there's people in this room. God did something. There's people online. God did something. There's others in the room. You're like me. Nothing happened. Don't worry. No, there's nothing crazy about it. You are not wrong or good or bad. You're the box. And when you realize that, you take that pressure off. I can be that. God can use you in remarkable ways, church. Amen. All right. Oh my goodness, I went over a minute. Feel bad? Not really. Would you hold up your hands like this so I can bless you? Father, I pray bless the greatest people on the face of the earth, the people of Grace Assembly of God. Give them an open heaven. Bestow favor and blessings upon them so that we in our turn can become blessings to others. I'm asking you to flow through us as a vessel. Because I'm the box, the container of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that when people see us, they take notice that we have been with Jesus. In your precious name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's see if you all may be seated. God is so good. I just want to say I love you. Pastor Wayne loves you. Our host in this room will come and dismiss you row by row. We're trying to do our very best with the whole social distancing. Help me out by avoiding hanging out in the hub. Just keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Don't be like the Israelites going circles. Don't do it. Keep on walking. We're doing our best to respect everyone and handle this season in the best way we can. We love you. I love you. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful day.